Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our sermon text are those words we read a little earlier from 1 Peter. I'll read them again. And Peter wrote, "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that through them you would give us faith, strengthen that faith, and bring us in the heavenward way toward eternity with you. We pray that you would set us apart from this perishable world by the imperishable things of your word, which is the truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, maybe some of you remember the television show, The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I would sort of have to read that with a British accent to do it right, but it was a show that was hosted by a man named Robin Leach. And in that show, what he would do is take people around and give them a tour of what it was like for the fantastically rich of this world. Excuse me. His show would take you on a tour of the estates and the mansions and sometimes the yachts of these really rich people. And he would show you what sorts of food they ate and what sorts of expensive games they would play. And once in a while, he would even have the opportunity to interview one of these really rich people. I saw that show up. Excuse me. I saw that show a couple of times, and one of the things that struck me was the emptiness of these people's lives. There are very rich people who are very poor, whose lives are empty even though they have everything they could possibly desire. It strikes me that there are also a lot of people who watched that show who probably had empty lives as well, not because they had all the stuff, but because they spent their time dreaming about having all of that stuff. Stuff they'll probably never have. Peter wrote about the lifestyles of the truly rich and famous in our text today. The lifestyles of those who are spiritually rich in eternal things, rich in God's eyes, rich in truth. He reminds us that the empty way of life leaves our greatest needs unfulfilled, can never satisfy our souls, never truly. Then he reminds us that it is not the riches of this world that fulfill our need. The living Lamb fulfills our need. And finally, he shows us that even though this empty world is filled with sin and death, life as a stranger here is fulfilling for us because we know that God has promised better for us and that he has given us worthwhile work to do while we are here on this earth. Let's start with this phrase, the empty way of life that Peter talks about. The first thing I want to mention is that there are wrong ways to live. I know that flies against our current culture, which says anything goes. You can do whatever you want. You can live however you want. It's just an alternative lifestyle. But the Word of God tells us that in truth, there are right and wrong ways to live. There are right and wrong lifestyles. An empty way is talking about a way of life that never reaches the goal of life, never finds real fulfillment. A life lived under the delusion that this stuff around us is all there is. It's our nature as human beings. Since the fall into sin, it's our nature to be sidetracked by all this stuff. It happens to all of us. Certainly, God provides many things for us while we are here, but our sinful nature looks at those things and is not content, always looking for more, for better. It's hard to be around someone who's really wealthy, has everything. It's hard to be around that person sometimes for those of us who don't, because that sinful nature of ours gets jealous. We feel that sometimes. It's too bad. Our children, when they see a new toy, how do they act? Well, they want that toy, and they'll even beg for it again and again and again, hoping that the parent will give in. It's just in our nature. Our greatest need is at the center of a meaningful life. And some people will tell you today that our greatest need in this world is peace, or our greatest need is economic stability, or our greatest need is better technology, whatever it might be. And these are good things to ask God for, but they're all passing away. What use are they in the grave? Peter says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold." He draws our attention to that right away. Now, if you know anything about gold, it's one of the most imperishable substances you'll find on this earth. It's practically inert. It doesn't rust. And yet, Peter singles it out, and he says it's a perishable thing, something that's going away. And he tells us this to remind us that our greatest need is something that is not temporary. What we most need is to be at peace with God, who is our Creator. He gave us everything. Everything we have. But in our sinfulness, it's not good enough as far as we're concerned a lot of times. And we offend and insult Him every time we go after that empty way of life, wanting more stuff. But thanks be to God that He has sought us out, even though we were still sinners. He sought us out and He bought us back from that empty way of life, not with gold or silver. He redeemed us from the sin that enslaved us, that had so enslaved us that we couldn't see what was truly important anymore. Thanks be to God that the living Lamb fulfills our greatest need, and that's the focus of what Peter talks about here. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus is the permanent solution to our greatest need. Christ was a lamb without blemish or defect. Now that bears a little explanation there. It means that He never sinned against God, not even once. It means that He was conceived without the blemish of sin, the defect of sin that we all have because we are descended from Adam and Eve. And he never did anything wrong in his life. He never gave in to temptation even once. That's what Peter's talking about when he says without blemish, without defect. He lacked for nothing. He lacked for nothing, and yet seeing our distress, what does he do? He took upon himself our vanity, the emptiness that we feel. He took upon himself our sin, and he allowed himself to be scourged and spit upon and beaten and cursed and crucified, killed, even damned in our place. He spilled his lifeblood so that we might live. That's why those drops of his blood are so precious in our estimation. They paid the price to buy us back from that empty way of life of our forefathers. That is how the living Lamb fulfills our greatest need. That is how our Lord makes us rich beyond all measure. Peter goes on to tell us why Jesus would do such a thing for us. He says, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Notice that Jesus was around before the creation of the world. That means that he's truly God. He's God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, not just a human being. That's why Zechariah sang, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people." Our God, Jesus Christ, he came to fulfill our greatest need. He came to make peace between us and God. And the proof that he did all of that, the proof that it was the right thing, the thing we most needed, is found in that empty tomb on Easter morning. Death couldn't hold him. By his own strength, he got up because he was not to be held by death. He was no sinner. He had no sin of his own. He died for us with our sins upon his shoulders. And what did he do? But proclaim, "Peace be with you." That's the refrain, the message that we hear over and over again from Jesus after his resurrection. That's why he's here to address you and me today. And I know we can't see him with our eyes. We're like those Emmaus disciples, kept from recognizing who is speaking to us even right now. But he comes to us with those comforting words, that comforting thought, "Peace be with you." He still comes to us. And Peter shows us that it is through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Jesus is the one who gave us our faith. Jesus is the one who is our hope. That's why when he goes and finds Thomas and speaks to him, he says, "Stop doubting and believe." The word of God is powerful. And that word worked faith in Thomas' heart that day. And he comes to you and me and he says, "Peace be with you. Stop doubting. Believe. Trust in your Savior, Jesus Christ." And his word has the power to work that faith in our hearts. His word has the power to strengthen that faith in our hearts. That's why we gather here week after week, and that's why we listen to his word day after day, because that word is the powerful working of God in our hearts. Think about it. You get to see Jesus, not with these eyes, but with your eyes of faith. You get to know that he's right there with you, walking with you, staying with you. So even though you live in this world surrounded by decay and all the other effects of sin, even though you live lives that are often beleaguered and beaten down by the sinful nature that still clings to you, "Peace be with you," Jesus says. Know that you are but a stranger here. Jesus is not just the lamb sacrificed. He is the living lamb who fulfills our greatest need. He was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. And likewise, this mess that we live in is not your home. Your home is above, with the Father, and with your brother, the very Lamb of God who fulfilled your greatest need, and with the Holy Spirit who gives you faith by way of the Word. But you are here for now and for a while, serving the purposes of our Father in heaven. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Peter writes to remind us that we really are but strangers here, serving the purposes of our God. We're like wealthy strangers in a needy land. By the grace of God, we have in our possession the most precious gifts of righteousness, salvation, and eternal life. And we worship an impartial and gracious God. Think about that thought. He's given His own righteousness to us. God gives His grace to all without partiality. And He decides in favor of all those who possess His gift. So He gives and then decides in favor on the basis of those gifts. Think about how good He is toward you. We worship Him because we know His righteousness. We know what He's done for us because the Spirit has worked that knowledge in our hearts. And that means that we have nothing to boast about of ourselves. We didn't dream this up. We didn't figure it out. No, the gifts we have are from God, who wants all of us to have them. We want to live with great thankfulness in our hearts for that precious blood of Jesus Christ spilled for us. We want to live our lives in reverent fear, knowing the deep hole that God has saved us from. We want to be motivated by God's goodness and His graciousness to go out from these walls to all nations and races, to the rich and the poor and the sick and the healthy, to all mankind with this good news. Think about what you get to bring into the empty lives of people who are chasing after all this stuff that's passing away. Sharing the gospel in this world makes this life worth living for us. Makes life as a stranger fulfilling. He's taken away your sin. He's taken away my sin. He's fulfilled our greatest needs in Christ. So gather and listen to His word. It's the life-giving truth. Receive His gifts in the sacraments. Remember your baptism. Receive the supper of the Lord often. In these things you have God's sure promise of forgiveness and life and salvation. That's why He brings them to you every week. Fellow Christians, thank Him that you are rich and famous. Thank Him that He decided before time even began to save you from your sins. Think about that for a minute. That's how famous you are, that the God of all creation knows you by name. He says that He has written your name on the palms of His hands, and that's a picture for us of what Jesus did and the blessing that Jesus has brought to us. Your imperishable riches are in heaven, earned by God's Son, who rescued you from your former empty way of life. You are now famous. You are now rich. How will you live your life? Will it not be to His glory, with thanksgiving and praise? Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.